Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Paxton's gone, so that story's gone with him.
Is it?
It's part of the business. You know, obviously we talk about a guy that I played with for 3 years. You know, I'm happy. I'm sad to see him leave, but I'm happy for him because he needs to change the scenery. I remember the second preseason game we're playing against the Bears. He goes in and the crowd's just booing him. And it does something to you as a player. And it reminds me when I was in Pittsburgh, you know. After I got out of Pittsburgh, it was like, you know, I'm going to Denver and they were loving me. Like, look at this guy. Look how fast he is. They're excited to have the new toy.
Manuel Sanders, Vance Joseph. It's not a story anymore. Paxton is gone. How did the tryout with the Bills go? Did Paxton Lynch get signed by the Bills today? No?
No word.
That workout was today. It's 7.02 p.m. in Buffalo right now. Not to dazzle you with my time zone skills. No word on Paxton with the Bills. Letting him get away. Be careful. ESPN has put out a new ranking. We've got the Broncos 26. They're putting the over-under at 7. It projects a win probability for each game. They have the Broncos favored to win in 4 games and 4 games only. Week 1 against the Seahawks. Week 2 against the Raiders. November 4th against the Texans. And then December 15th against the Browns. They got the Browns as the easiest game for them to win. But they have quite a few games that are coin flip games. Like they've got the Chiefs as a coin flip game on October 1st at 48.8%. They've got a coin flip game against the Chargers at the end of the season, 47.6%. And they've got the Jets at 45.3%. That's about as close as you get for a coin flip sort of games. Alfred, they've got the defense ranked 5th in the league, the offense 30th, the special teams 31st. What do they have right here? What do they have wrong here?
I think they have the defense a little too high. Especially not having to keep Tlaib and having to find a see if Tremaine Brock can actually go at third corner. Our pass defense has been our strength around here for a long time. But our run defense was a top 5 run defense last year. We'll have to rally around that run defense and hold up in the pass game. I think that's a little bit too high. And our offense being 30th ranked is way so disrespectful. So disrespectful. Whoever is the lead guy with that analysis, that's a horrible job that they've done and have not been paying attention to what's happening around here in Denver.
This preview has the Chargers winning the division, the Chiefs coming in second, the Raiders ahead of the Broncos, barely, at 23, and the Broncos at 26. They've got the Broncos finishing last in the AFC West. How do you see it?
I have the Chargers in the number one position. I have the Broncos in the number two position.
Why do you like the Broncos better than the Hall of Fame-led quarterback Los Angeles Chargers?
I have the Chargers number one.
Oh, what did I get wrong there? You got the Chiefs number three.
Okay. Chiefs number three.
Never mind, sorry.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame quarterback goes one.
And you got the
Broncos number two. Chiefs number three.
And the Raiders last.
Raiders four.
Gotcha.
I mean, that loss of, you know, when you have great pass rushers, it makes the secondary so much better.
The Broncos, this projection has only 4 games that they have the Broncos favored in. One of them is against the Seahawks, but you don't see it that way.
You know, when you're talking about Hall of Fame quarterbacks, it just makes me nervous. Now, as the week goes on, I'll tell you how we can win against them and who has to be better than average, and certainly one of those guys is going to be a rookie, and that rookie, believe it or not, is not once again Royce Freeman. It's Courtland Sutton. We're going to have to take advantage of every one-on-one situations that he can win and make those plays happen. He is going to be our fire starter on offense to give us those chunk plays. We need him to give us those chunk plays.
So you had the Broncos shocking the world.
What's shocking the world?
Making the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, I got the Broncos in the playoffs. 10-6, 11-5.
They say the hardest game to win of the year is against the Ravens, and the easiest game to win of the year is against the Browns.
I like the Browns. The Ravens look energetic. I think we can beat them.
Do you think it's going to be the hardest game to win of the year?
No.
What's the hardest game to win of the year?
At the Chargers.
At the Chargers is November 18th. And
they're still playing in that soccer stadium, but, man, I mean, look how they came on strong last year at the end of the year. Maybe the hardest game for us to win at home is against the Rams, and the hardest game to win on the road is at the Chargers.
All right, we're off and rolling. It's an interesting, they did it really cool. The graphics of it are actually pretty cool.
Yeah, nice graphics, but it's stupid.
Okay. Rob, you're on the Fan. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Sure.
Great show, great duo. I follow you closely on Twitter, DMAC, and you run a great account and have some really, really insightful tweets.
Look at you, thank you.
I find a little bit of disparity between your objectivity and your, say, critical thinking on Twitter versus what you do on the air. So I really follow you more on Twitter. Having said that,
okay.
going to list four decisions that were made by John Elway that, in my humble opinion, have set back the organization 3 to 5 years.
I'll let you do it if you can make those points relatively quickly, Rob.
Okay. Number one.
You don't have to explain them. You can just list them, and we can kind of go from there. So what's number one?
I hear you. Number one, hiring Vance Joseph.
Okay.
Number two is drafting Paxton Lynch.
Okay.
Number three is not drafting a quarterback this past draft from the number five position.
Okay.
And number four is procrastinating on the release of Paxton Lynch, which triggered all sorts of problems in terms of trying to find an acceptable backup.
Well, you're basically going to issues with the draft. I mean, if you boil all, Vance Joseph, I suppose, stands apart from that, but you could take three of your 4 points and just combine them to, you know, draft philosophy, basically, right? I mean, it all boils down to that. Like, you hung on to Paxton Lynch too long because you believed in him and you didn't see the forest through the trees on that. And it's a good question, Rob. Thank you so much for the call. Thank you, Rob. It's a good question. If you knew Paxton Lynch wasn't part of the future, had you cut Paxton Lynch in January, would your decision have been the same in this year's NFL draft?
No.
Probably not. So what would it have looked like if you had, I mean, you let go of Paxton now. We were screaming. We knew. By the way, here at The Fan, we knew after that Raiders game where he was crying on the sidelines, he was toast.
Was that the Raiders game?
Yes.
Okay.
We knew. We knew he had lost his teammates. We knew he didn't have the heart for the game. We didn't think it. We knew it. I think that's pretty much a consensus of everybody that works here at the radio station. We could see it from a mile away. He wasn't going to work out. And Trevor Siemian almost led a comeback in that game, except for Brennan Langley, who's terrible, giving up a huge pass because Aqib Talib got himself kicked out of the game. I mean, that game was like such a disaster, and they still almost won. But Aqib Talib made a very selfish move with the crap with Crabtree, super selfish. A player that John Elway drafted who wasn't really a cornerback was out on the field playing terribly, and your number one draft pick was crying on the sideline. Right? So we knew it at that point, but John Elway wasn't convinced of it. What if he was, though? I hate the what-if game. But what if he was and Paxton was gone? What would the draft have looked like? Paxton Lynch is no longer on your team.
I mean, you guys, if you want to play the what-if game.
I know. I hate that because it's like I could be dunking him being the Hall of Fame for the Red Sox.
Here's the ultimate what-if. What if we would have acted early and signed Brock Osweiler to an extension?
I gotcha.
Like, that is the ultimate what-if that
play,
started. What if we would have signed Colin Kaepernick in the offseason before having to go into the NFL draft to draft Paxton Lynch.
I got you.
What happens
if go way back
what if Gary Kubiak would have believed in Paxton Lynch just enough just to play him. What if the next year Vance Joseph plays him 1 year so we can find out what we really have and get a better first-round draft pick than the one that we got at number five?
If Paxton Lynch is not on this team, do you draft Bradley Chubb?
No.
Who do you draft?
You draft the quarterback.
Who?
You draft Sam Darnold. Because
Sam Darnold's not there.
Hopefully, you know, what I would have did is that I would have stuck the guy in the game and said, we're going to go with this guy because he's our first-round quarterback, okay,
but
and we're going with him.
That's years ago. He melted down in the Raiders game. We all saw
it. I would have put him in the game to ensure that I would have got Sam Darnold, okay, or anybody else that I wanted.
You to try to tank the season.
That's right, like they did with Tebow.
I forget what happened after that Raiders game. I have to look back at the schedule. You guys know, did they win any games after that Raiders game? I think they won one or two other ones.
We had five wins, so we won two more.
We only had three wins up to that point?
Five. I think we were 5-11, right? So we had two wins. After, you know, that's it. Two wins. 5-11.
Yeah, but...
We started 3-1.
Who did we beat? Yeah.
We had two wins after that.
So, oh, Jets were one of them. Jets were one of them. What was the other win?
I don't know.
Anyways, doesn't matter. So the likelihood of Bradley Chubb being on this team would be very low. There probably would be a quarterback. All right. So it wouldn't have been Kevin Hogan. It would have been who? If we stayed at five, it would have had to be Josh Allen or Josh Rosen.
Probably been Josh Rosen.
I don't know about that. Why do you say it would have been Josh Rosen, not Josh Allen?
I don't know who liked Josh Allen over there.
They spent a lot of time with Josh Allen.
Sure.
Coops was up at the pro day.
Spent a lot of time with Baker Mayfield, too.
They did spend a lot. If Baker Mayfield was there, they would have gone with Baker Mayfield. There's no doubt about that. It's just that he went number one overall. He would have been an easy pick. And Darnold would have been
a good NFL quarterback. I can't believe that, you know, the Browns did. They did a good job on that draft. What can I tell you? They did a really good job on their NFL draft. The only thing would have made their draft even better if they would have got Courtland Sutton instead of Chubb.
They beat the Colts. Boy, I don't even remember that game. Take your word for it. That was a pretty miserable season.
I mean, and when you look at the NFL schedule, man, every year I do this. Every year. And like as a player, I did it. Now as a broadcaster, I do it. You know, you look at the schedule and you say, okay, we got to make our push here. Like I used to look at the schedule and actually go, okay, got to get sacks here. Here, that's going to be a tough game to get sacks against. Like anytime I saw Dan Marino and the Dolphins on the schedule, don't even think about getting sacks against Dan Marino. But as I look at this schedule now with us playing that first game at home against the Seattle Seahawks, I feel solid. It's a 50. I'm going to call it a 50-50 game. I just don't like it. I don't like it because of Russell Wilson. And he creates so many great plays with his legs. Still. Oakland, not afraid at all. Not afraid of the Oakland Raiders. That offense is known, and that offense has been figured out years ago. Not worried about the Raiders. The Ravens are a little different team because Joe Flacco has come back, and he dropped like 15 pounds. He looks great, and he is throwing the ball on time. I mean, he looks great. He looks great. Now, he looks like he wants to play another 7-8 years for the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco looks good. Kansas City Chiefs, just got to put it on them. Young quarterback, put it on them. Jets, put it on them. Young quarterback, put it on them. Rams is a good game because of that great defense of theirs. That's a great game. I don't like our chances. Give us a 30% chance to win that game. At Arizona, I like our chances.
Okay,
I like our chances, but I'm just saying.
Let's take it one game at a time. Hold on, and then
you go at Kansas City. I like our chances against Kansas. I can go through the eight games of the first half of the season and comfortably say 5-3 feels right.
Okay, I hope that's the case. That would be awesome. Aaron, you're on the fan. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
How you doing?
A super duper.
Thank you.
Yes.
Actually, with the whole drafting. Personally, I think that if we would have drafted a quarterback, of the quarterbacks that were available, maybe one of them, maybe two will actually make it in the league.
Which and, two?
probably Donald.
You don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I've said this a million times. Aaron, do you think anybody in Buffalo, be honest now, do you think anybody in Buffalo says, man, I wish we had Dan Marino?
Probably not.
Do you think anybody in Miami says, oh, I wish we got John Elway?
Absolutely.
Really?
There you go.
You think so? You think there are Miami Dolphin fans? You really think there's Miami Dolphin fans that wish they had John Elway instead of Dan Marino? Really?
I bet there's at least a few.
Really? I bet there's not, Aaron. I bet there's not.
I bet you there is.
I bet you there's not. All right. Anyway, How many Broncos fans do you think are sitting there saying, I wish we had Jim Kelly or Dan Marino, not John Elway?
None, because we got Super Bowls to go with those.
Yeah, we got Super Bowls.
Right. The fact of the matter is, Aaron, nobody in any of those cities, they're all loyal to their quarterbacks because all the quarterbacks were great. It was a crazy. So when you say, I bet a couple of the quarterbacks are going to be good, the problem is you don't know who those quarterbacks are.
Which is exactly why we didn't draft one.
No, you can't live like that, Aaron. Really?
Sure we can.
Okay.
You'd be talking about Shane Ray if we didn't draft Chubb, in my opinion.
Aaron. This is the way you want to live life?
I don't think it's that bad, man.
You love Case Keenum, right?
I don't love him.
You don't?
I think he's good with momentum. I mean, he hasn't had the best, you know, track record, but he certainly did all right last year. And if the guys round, you know, get around him, I think we got a good shot. We have solid D.
How long do we have Case Keenum for?
3 years.
No, he signed a 2-year contract.
Okay, 2 years. Sorry.
Okay. How long did the Jets have Sam Darnold?
You know, seven. Four at least.
Guaranteed seven. Because you get 4 years and a 5th-year option. And just like the Washington Redskins, if you want to, you can tag him for 2 years. No matter what, the New York Jets can keep Sam Darnold for 7 years. Same for Josh Allen, same for Josh Rosen, same for Baker Mayfield, same for Lamar Jackson. We have our starting quarterback for two.
I see what you're saying, but it's here and now. It's a prove-it year. It's not a build-it year.
My man.
It's a prove-it year.
All right, I'm glad you're upbeat. You like Bradley Chubb, and you love Case Keenum, and you're good with this 2-year plan.
I'm looking up, not all at one.
I appreciate it. I think we're going to kill Seattle. What about you? You think we're going to beat Seattle?
The what ifs
if we got a quarterback is we would have had a developmental quarterback that we could have for at least 7 years behind. All right, deep breaths. Just moving on. Didn't happen. We got Bradley Chubb. The end. Seth, you're on the fan. Hi, Seth.
It's a slight transgression. D-Mac, just because you said it, John Elway playing for Don Shula would have set every record available for the rest of time. He went to the worst coach possible in Dan Reeves. All he knew how to do was run the ball. He didn't trust him.
Wait now. The worst coach possible got him to those Super Bowls?
Elway got him to the Super Bowls. I don't think Reeves had a lot to do with it.
Oh, really?
Coordinator, wasn't he?
Wade was the head coach. Did Wade get him to the Super Bowl?
No. Wasn't he the defensive coordinator?
Wade was the head coach, too. Did he get him to the Super Bowl?
No, but Wade isn't good as a head coach, as he acknowledged himself when he was appointed as the captain.
Wait a minute. You said John Elway got him. I think John Elway was 8-8 with Wade Phillips. So don't say that.
Right.
You can't say that. Dan Reeves was a terrible coach, and John Elway did it by himself. You can't do that.
No, I said Wade was a defensive coordinator.
So the things Dan Reeves put out there as an offensive coordinator wasn't good?
He's building up to something.
No, they weren't. Look at Elway.
Goodness. Seth, go ahead. You're building up to something. Al was just rejecting your premise. But what are you building up to?
What I'm building up to is that the coach-quarterback combination matters. And Elway under Shula and Marino under Shula were that good. And so was Kelly under Levy, whatever it was. The combination matters. But Elway under Shanahan, or Shula or Walsh, as we saw in the 30 for 30, Elway to Marino.
Yeah, what's your point about this team? This team, Seth.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
No, because I got to stop him there. Do you understand that Elway under Shanahan, we ran the ball more than we threw it, and we won two Super Bowls?
He was about to implode on his own, Al, and now we're going in a different direction.
I love you, D-Mac.
I mean, I'm just stating the obvious.
Yes, I realize that in the last 3 years of Elway's career.
I got to move on. Sorry, Seth. Let's go to Dan.
Dan Reeves is a horrible coach. Are you kidding me?
He wasn't even trying to say that. He was trying to get to something else, and it just derailed. Dan, you're on the Fan. What's up, Dan?
I think the Mac trade when Oakland traded him to the Bears, I think that's a momentum shifter as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
Both divisions, the AFC and the NFC, that's going to be huge. And I can maybe see that down the road for our guy here. Maybe down the road when he.
You mean Von Miller?
Nice call. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Really? Come on, people. Come on. Hey, hey, hey.
I do believe it was a momentum shift in the AFC West. Just like when Justin Houston went down and
they're
couldn't
okay.
play.
They're okay with it. They don't care in Oakland.
Hey, man, look, man.
It's all about
I'm glad that
to
they
Vegas.
Don't care.
I know. It's great
I'm
for the
glad
next
year. Hey, look.
For the next
and you
year,
know
it's great.
And I've been thinking about this. How do we know it's just Mark Davis just doesn't want to give this guy $90 million of his money?
Yeah, that's a significant part of it.
Right.
Of course it's a big part of it. And they don't care. They're in it to lose it. Mark, you're in the Fan. What's up?
Well, I've been a Bronco fan most of my life, and I think I'm giving up on them and being a Rockies fan now.
You can do both. Mark, I got news for you. I hear this sometimes. It's like you can like Burger King and McDonald's. You can watch more than one show on Netflix. It's okay. You can be a Rockies fan and a Broncos fan. Most of the time, they play at different times.
Right, but I just don't like Vance Joseph, and I just don't like Woods. I don't think they're good coaches.
Well, there you go.
What don't you like about Vance Joseph?
I don't think he has any power, Al. I think that Elway's calling all the shots.
Well, most general managers call all the shots.
Yeah, but not Shanahan. Well, he was general manager, though.
That was a unique situation. But in most NFL cities, the general manager calls the shots.
Yeah, but it seems like the other coaches we've had, well, Kubiak, he called the shots. I don't think Elway really.
Yes, no, so Elway called the shots. Elway drafted Paxton Lynch, not Gary Kubiak.
By the way, don't you get a sinking suspicion that Gary Kubiak is having a significant influence these days?
When you saw Gary Kubiak out there with a script in his hand, you should have known that he's going to have an influence on this team. And that's a good thing. Sometimes coaches lose their way, man. They lose their way. And Mike McCoy, man, for all the good things that happened early in the season last year, lost his way. He had one bye week, and he came back and thought Trevor Siemian was Tom Brady. One bye week. And then we throw in it for 40, 50 times a game. You need to have a conscience about who you want to be in this league. And I'm sorry that the caller call doesn't have any respect for Dan Reeves, but all Dan Reeves did was take this team to multiple Super Bowls. Okay, we didn't get the dubs, but taking a team to a Super Bowl means that you are a really good coach.
We got full lines. People are fired up. Here we go.
That was a bad call.
This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Ted's Tuesday with Big Al and D-Mac, presented by Ted's Montana Grill. Coming up at 5:45. Win dinner on us tonight with a $50 card to Ted's. You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Ted's Montana Grill for bringing food for the crew here. Nice Tuesday tradition. Yeah, we're munching on some, we had our main meal earlier. Now it's just munchable time. So way to go, Ted's. It was great. We loved it. We will continue to love it. Thank you, Ted's. You can hear a brilliant recap of that coming up with the Drive Reloaded right at 6 o'clock. I know you're very curious about what we're eating. How could you actually hear Al eating here in a second if he popped out his microphone? But it's okay.
A little broccoli, man. Who doesn't love broccoli?
Chopping broccoli.
My my oldest boy, Dominique, used to call the broccoli, and when he was a small kid, little trees.
Nice. It's funny. That's a good take.
You know what? That is so weak. That's a weak sauce. That is the weakest sauce you can put out there on a Tuesday before a Sunday game.
Maybe a shorter clip of that, just the weak sauce part. Like this.
Paxton's gone.
I mean, boom. It's just...
Paxton's gone.
Just, that's it.
You weak know, I sauce. Wonder. I wonder privately... And I have not talked to Vance Joseph about this. Did he ever like Paxton Lynch? And my answer probably would be no.
As what?
A quarterback.
Not as a person?
First thing
as
that a, he said about Paxton Lynch was that he was tall.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that.
That's a weak sauce. That is the weakest sauce you can put out there on a Tuesday before a Sunday game.
Too long. That was weak sauce. That's it. Like, you know, it's like...
That was a bad call.
Like this.
Goes with the twos.
There you go. That was a bad call. You got that was a bad call?
That's a weak sauce.
Boom.
That's a weak sauce. That was a bad call.
Yeah, I mean, just you just got to hit him with the...
He goes with the ones.
Right.
How's John Fox been doing? How's John Fox been doing on
not good
ESPN?
Not good.
Is it ESPN?
He's boring.
Or NFL Network.
I love my man Foxy, but he doesn't realize what he's doing.
What do you mean?
The best guys on TV take the filter and they throw it in the trash, and they don't agree with everything you say. They don't laugh along with everything you say, although they laugh occasionally and they'll agree with you sometimes. You don't have to be on fire or crazy. You just have to be firm in your opinion. And most guys on TV that try to do what Foxy's doing are boring. And he's boring right now.
You think he wants to coach again in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he's bored. I think he's born to be a coach. I think he's in much better shape physically. And you just need something else to do. He's probably not long for ESPN. He's just not that guy. He's a great guy, though.
See, this is the problem in the NFL, and it exists in a lot of places. And when you consider all the coaches that will be fired at the end of this season, consider the quarterbacks that they have. Those that have great quarterbacks probably won't be fired. Those that have terrible quarterbacks will probably be fired. It just breaks down to something as simple as that. That's why when Marty Schottenheimer was fired and
there's always seven guys that get fired every year.
I know, but when Marty Schottenheimer got fired, 14-2.
Let's go. Yeah, that was ridiculous. Do the Eagles have a good quarterback?
I got a question for you here real quick. Before we go real deep. What happens if the Eagles get off to a roaring start and they continue their winning ways for four or five games?
It's a good one. What do you do with Carson Wentz?
Why in the world would you question...
Good situation to be in.
Why would you question the leadership of Nick Foles, who just won you a Super Bowl, and he's off to call it a 4-5-0 start?
Alfred, those are first world rich people problems.
I'm like, what in the world? I mean, all this talk about Carson Wentz coming back, I'm like, you know what, man? If it was me, I'd make the very real, and very tough decision, and probably trade Carson Wentz if I got a good start this year out of Nick Foles, out of Nick Foles. If Nick Foles had a good start, I probably would consider trading Carson Wentz.
It's like, if I have first-class tickets, do I want to get on the 11 o'clock plane or do I want to get on the 1110 plane?
Oh, man.
Nobody cares about your problems. You're in a good situation. Eagles, Patriots got a good quarterback.
Oh, great.
So he's safe. Steelers got a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah, great.
He's safe. Rams got a good quarterback.
We're going to find out.
He's safe. Saints got a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Vikings got a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Falcons got a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Packers got a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Chargers got a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Ravens got a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Panthers got a good quarterback.
Yep.
Jaguars got a good quarterback.
No.
Oh. Mm. Problems in Jacksonville?
No.
Most likely not. They're probably good. Cowboys got a good quarterback?
No.
Maybe some problems for Garrett. And
look for Garrett to be fired after this year.
Chiefs got a good quarterback?
Don't know.
Niners got a good quarterback?
Don't know.
Texans got a good quarterback?
Don't know.
Titans got a good quarterback?
No.
Oh, some problems for who's in? Wizenhunt? Is he still there?
No. It's Grable. I mean, Vrabel.
Oh, Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel.
First-year coach going to have some problems?
I just don't know if...
I could keep going like this. Seahawks, Lions, Colts, they're all fine.
Seahawks, Lions, Colts, right.
Bears, Redskins, Raiders, they're all fine. Giants, Bengals, we'll see there.
We'll see.
Broncos.
I think we have a good quarterback.
Okay. Cardinals, fine. Buccaneers, that's interesting.
That's a good one.
Dolphins, that's interesting.
Hey, you know what? Somebody's getting fired there in Florida.
Browns just built.
So one of those coaches in Florida is going to get fired.
So right now, you could project maybe three coaches getting canned.
I mean, we may have two in Florida fired.
Think they're going to fire my guy?
Yep.
I hope not. But you can only give them so much time. I mean, something's going to pop.
Dirk Cotter with the Bucks. I mean, come on, man. You fired Lovey for Dirk Cotter, and he hasn't delivered the goods.
Adams made a lot of changes there in Miami.
Adam Gase with the Miami Dolphins. What's going on there?
I mean, Adam foolishly thought Jay Cutler was an answer.
Two of the three coaches in Florida may get fired.
I was talking to Adam, and he just his love of Jay Cutler was just, he just believed in the dude.
Jay didn't love it.
No kidding.
Jay just didn't love it,
and
man.
And when I would talk to Adam, I'm like, are you, really? With Cutler, really?
You know who loves it, man?
No, you don't know. He's great. He's blah, 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 blah. I'm like,
You know who loved it? Tom Brady. Tom Brady loves to play football. I hope Case Keenum loves to play football. I got a feeling that he's that kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. He loves football. There's no doubt about
it. I mean, loves it.
He wrote a book. I'm short, and I am now a starter. Wait, no. It's playing for more, trust beyond what you can see. Oh.
What's the need?
The book?
I mean, why? Win the Super Bowl, then do the book.
Can I really be honest with you, being 100? Yeah, I kind of like saying that now. Feels like I'm a young.
Be 100, yes.
I'm going to be 100.
Don't be 50 or 60, be 100.
I'm
going to
be 100.
Go ahead.
I think it's a book of devotion and faith. I think that's the primary motivation behind the book. I think it's a testimonial, basically.
Has something happened that has changed everything?
I think he's strongly faith-based.
Not that he's a starting quarterback. It means more?
No. I think he was going to do the book.
So would the book have sold less if he was a backup quarterback?
I think it's an evangelical type of book. I think that's what it's rooted in. It's a religious book.
Why not? Because he's a starter?
I don't know. I think it just was the time, and he's got a story to tell, and he feels strongly in his faith.
Good luck to him. I'm just saying.
I think
that's
the bigger.
I like it when guys win a Super Bowl and then write a book.
The name of the book is Playing for More. Trust Beyond What You Can See. That's a religious title. It's a religious book.
Or it could mean Believe in Your Teammates.
Oh, my God. You know, when I say some things, just. To understand that I know what I'm saying.
Have you read the foreword?
Can you not see me nodding and winking and just sort of telling you from like every angle what the deal is? This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and Dean.
Let's drama kid. compete against us, get yourself some cool stuff. It's the King Supers Fan Football Pick'em. And the winning listener gets to shame our losing host and win $250 to King Supers. Big Sexy, I guess you're off the hook this year, huh? It's just the hosts?
Yep. Wow. All producers are out of it now.
It kind of stinks, huh?
Yeah, apparently they didn't like us participating in it.
But that at the fantasy draft, you guys had your own table? Like, you weren't
the
allowed
The kids'
to...
table and everything.
That's weird.
We weren't even up on stage.
What is the deal, man? I mean, are you guys, like, not part of the family here now?
It felt weird. Did it feel weird to you?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a kids' table, and then there's an adults' table when it comes to this, and we're in the kids' table. That's
no,
all right.
I don't know. I thought that. I wish we were all. When I saw it, I was like, why aren't we all in the same league?
Controversy.
Like, seriously, because there's plenty of room for more guys. We only have, like, 8 guys in our league.
You're not in the league?
He's not in our league.
The fantasy league?
Not the fan one. I'm gonna win it easy, so it's not really that big of a deal. Win the grand prize of free groceries for a year. Register before Thursday's kickoff at 1043thefan.com. There you go. Thank you, King Supers. This is a fun promotion.
You can't create your own destiny.
Thank you, John. The fantasy note that nobody cares about my fantasy, but get this.
John Fox, I love Fox.
So in my family fantasy league, we have 14 friends and family. 14, which is a pretty large league for a fantasy football league. We had our auto pick draft last night. I got Emmanuel Sanders. I could not believe
Championship.
It.
Championship.
I could not believe it. And now I'm stuck with the ethical dilemma of whether I keep Emmanuel Sanders, who I know is going to have a good year.
I mean, he's going over 1,200.
Yeah.
He's going over 1,200 this year.
You know what?
DT's going to have like 8 or 9.
How about this?
Cortland Sutton is probably going to have 7 or 8.
As a sign, it's purely football, not personal reasons. I will keep Emmanuel Sanders on my fantasy football team.
Do you really dislike Emmanuel Sanders that much? By the way, have you been paying attention to this thing with Michigan? It's going down. I mean, Braylon Edwards is not backing down about how awful Michigan football is under Jim Harbaugh. I mean, this dude is...
What's his job?
I mean, it was a 17-24 game, I think it was.
Did you see Dylan McCaffrey play?
I didn't see it, no.
I did. It was awesome. It was really cool.
Did he make something happen?
He did. He made some nice plays, and then Shea Patterson was feeling better and came back in. And Shea Patterson did lead him to a touchdown, but he also...
It held on
coughed,
to the ball.
Coughed,
yeah.
Yep, yeah, coughed it up.
Yeah, no doubt at the end of the game. But the... I watched the end of that game, and I thought, well, this is college football. It's going to come down to the last 3 minutes, and Michigan scored, you know, on a little power play or whatever that was on the left side. And then they got the ball back, and sure enough, with a minute and 20, they had a chance to roll down the field, and they could have went. You know, I was
just like Tom Brady had a chance.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes big-time players make big-time plays.
Hey,
force that
shot,
turnover is just like
the shot.
It was just like the Super Bowl.
Everybody gets a shot, so I'm glad to see Montez. Though I'm really thinking my man is going to have this monster year. I think he's going to have. I think our quarterback at the University of Colorado is going to have a monster year. I mean, look for him to throw for nearly 4,000 yards. That's a monster year in college football. He looks so confident. They know what they're doing. Man, big game against Nebraska this weekend.
It's exciting.
Man, I'm getting so many phone calls, man.
I'm ready for this.
It's been a while since we took a good team into stinking Lincoln and got them.
Can't wait. Let's go.
When was the last time, see, you beat Nebraska in Nebraska?
Don't know.
Wow, that's a good one. But
did you catch that Philip Lindsay called TD and asked him if it was okay if he wear his number?
Yeah, I thought that should have been Royce Freeman, by the way.
You don't get how cool it is for a local kid who grew up in Aurora and looked up to TD
I think numbers,
and stays in the state, and then he gets like permission from TD to wear his...
You don't get
how cool that is?
I think the coolness
you
about
really
it
want to
is,
brush that off with like Royce Freeman should have had it?
Yeah, because... 2004 was the last time? Okay, thank you. Last time, see, you beat Nebraska, and Nebraska is 2004. But the way I look at those kind of numbers, Those kind of numbers are reserved for the best players the Broncos can put forward. Like if you had number 30, if you, you know, you had a guy that you loved and you thought highly enough of him to draft him like in the first round, you give him number 30.
The Broncos just have not had that tradition, though.
I know.
They just
haven't done it.
I don't know. They haven't done it. How about when we saw
the Cowboys do it all the time?
How about we saw Isaiah McKenzie bumping around with 84?
Like, right.
What is that?
You know, the Cowboys do it with 88.
I'll give it to you. Your prime running back for the Broncos should wear 30. Your number one tight end should wear 84. Your white receiver should wear 87. I mean, we did have that tradition for a while. It's like there's McCaffrey and there's Decker and it's like Jordan Taylor's got a... Wasn't Jordan Taylor 87? He was, right?
Oh, man.
I kill you with
no,
truth.
But I think
that's why
that
it's funny, because it's true.
I think that, you know, like, we don't have those legendary numbers. We have like 18.
Al, I'll give you this. 30 would be a good tradition for the running
back. Yes, man. Royce Freeman wears 30. He's the starting running back on opening day. He should wear 30.
At Syracuse, what number did?
44.
44, because it's Jim Brown, Ernie Davis first, Jim Brown, Floyd Little, blah, 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 blah. Goes like that. 44. See, you knew it. It'd be a good tradition to have. I don't know why they don't do it. It'd be cool if that was the case.
If you're going to give a number away from a guy who was in the Hall of Fame, we don't have that many. Okay? Officially, I'm talking about, you know, not Tony Dorsett.
Right. Brian Dawkins.
Not really Brian Dawkins, no.
Jim Sacamano is having a heart attack right now.
Right. I got it.
All right, Rockies tonight going against, who's my man? Marquez? I love Marquez.
Jermaine
Marquez. I think he's the ace. I love Freeland, but Marquez to me, if I had to pick one guy, it would be Marquez. I love Freeland, though. That being said, the Rockies are in first place, so if you're headed down to the game tonight, have a blast. After the Drive Reloaded, Sandy Clough on live to talk to you all about the game tonight.
Herman, man, I need this, man. The Rockies are sitting in first place because they had a plan and they're working it. They're working it. We have a plan, too, and that's to be the best sports station around here when it comes to talking about the Denver Broncos and the NFL.
Bow chicka bow wow.
For my partner, D-Mac, for Big Sexy, the man behind the glass that pulls the show together every day, and, of course, my homeboy, Kyle Berry, I'm Big Al. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock as we get down to the nitty-gritty and breaking down the Seattle Seahawks. The offense will be broken down and ready for you to taste it tomorrow. It's going to be slippery.
Paxton's gone.
Good night, everybody.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.